Well, we've been looking over the weeks the different titles of God and different names of God. And what may surprise you in this is when you start reading in the Bible and you think, well, I don't really care that much about names and titles. But then you start looking and you'll see something like, how great is his name? And then you start seeing that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. And there's no other name given under heaven among men by which we might be saved. And so the idea of the name of God and the names of God is amazing. And we saw in the Old Testament, we looked at a bunch of different names of God in the Old Testament. Then we looked at names of God in the New Testament. Then we actually went back and looked at different names of God dealing with the prophecy of the coming of the Messiah. And then we started a couple of weeks ago looking at the names and titles of God at the birth of the Messiah. And this is where we stopped last week, because we were going to look just at the very first thing, and it was called the Word of God. And you don't have to turn there. If you want to, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. This is where we're going to actually start looking at something, is Luke chapter 1. So you can just be there, but I want to remind you of some things last time. The first name that we talked about at the birth of Jesus Christ was called the Word of God. Jesus Christ is the living Word. There is the written Word, and there is the living Word. The living Word is Jesus Christ. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. I just want to remind you of something that we talked about last week, and we said that there is the eternal God. Eternal God exists in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. All three, one God in three persons. We cannot comprehend that. We believe it, but we cannot totally understand how God could be one in three at the same time. We just can't grasp all that, but it is true. The next thing we saw is that the eternal God, the Father, is a spirit being. The eternal Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is a spirit being. The eternal Son, Jesus Christ, was a spirit being until he left heaven and became a person. That's what we talked about last week. That's when the witch says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then 1:14 says, and the Word became flesh. The Word, the eternal God, Jesus Christ, spirit being for all eternity at a point in time in history, became a human being. And that's what we saw, and that's why it's called the Word. And he's called the Word of God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we mentioned this. We said, why in the world would the Word, the eternal God, Jesus Christ, become a human being? Because the Father's not a human being, and the Spirit's not a human being. Why would the eternal Son, Jesus Christ, become a human being? And that was why? Why? Okay, so he could become a human being so he could take our place, be our substitute, to die in our place on the cross to pay for our sin. See, all of sin comes short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. And so Jesus Christ came and died. God demonstrated his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the substitution. So the whole point of Jesus Christ, the Word becoming flesh, was so that he could die for us. That's the bottom line. In Galatians 4:4, it says, in the fullness of time, God brought forth his Son, born of a woman, born under law, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed. He came to pay for our sins. So when we think of the Word of God, we think of that name. That's Jesus at his birth, was the living Word who became a human being so he could die for us. So we don't want to forget that. That's what we talked about last week. And in fact, we said in John 1:14, full of grace and truth. And that's what he is, the grace of God that brings the one to die for us, but he's the truth because he pays for sin. And we're going to see it this morning. And to me, as we've been going through the book of Hebrews, and we've been going by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, we come to, I think, I just had to put it this way, I don't see how anyone could have even a greater aspect of faith than what happens this morning when Abraham, by faith, offers up his son, Isaac. If any of you have children, and you think of the fact that God told Abraham to take his son and offer him as a sacrifice, I can't picture that. And we're going to talk about it. And so here is God, the Father, telling his son, Jesus Christ, to become a human being, to offer him as a what? Sacrifice to pay for our sins. So this is the whole thing. So in the fullness of time, God brought forth his son. Now, with that in mind, we want to see some various names of Christ or of God at the birth. And I want you to see them. two of them go together, okay? In Luke chapter 1, I think I have a slide that says Luke 1, 31, there's two names, that the first two go together. I want you to look at Luke 1, 31, and as you get there, just go back to verse 26, and I just want you to flow through this so you can see it. I think it's important always that we just don't look at a verse, we look at the flow. It says, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth. Everybody knows this story. We all know everything. The sixth month is the sixth month of what? Elizabeth's pregnancy. If you read the passage, there was a man named Zechariah as a priest and his wife Elizabeth, and they were barren, and God came to him and told him they were going to have a son. His son was going to be named John, and he was going to be the forerunner of the Messiah. He was going to go before the Savior of the world, the Messiah, and announce his coming. In the sixth month of her pregnancy, it says, now in the sixth month, angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth to this virgin. She was engaged to a man. His name was Joseph. He was a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. When the angel came in, he said, greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you. She was shocked at that because angels are a very powerful being. And actually, the angel actually said, you are favored. Grace to you. Favored one, the Lord is with you. I mean, it was like a shock to her, and she was afraid, and the angel said to her, she was kept wondering, what in the world is going on? And verse 30 says, the angel said, don't be afraid. You've found favor with God. Now, here's the key. We're going to see a name, and there's two of them that's going to go together and watch. And behold, you will conceive in your womb, and you will bear a son, and you shall name him what? What's his name? His name is Jesus. I want you to see this. The name Jesus is the same as the Hebrew Yeshua, and which is the same as Joshua, and it literally means Savior. So if you know somebody named Joshua, that's really the same name as Yeshua. That's the same name as Jesus. One's really a Hebrew, and the other is a Greek. And so they said, you shall name him Jesus. Why? Because, and you shall name his name Jesus, he will be great, he will be called Son Most High. So he's going to be called Jesus, which means Savior. Now, I don't want you to have to turn there, but just write down Matthew 1:21. I think I have it up on this slide. Matthew 1:21, the same angel came to Mary's husband. What's his name? Joseph. When he found out that she, by the way, let me just remind you of this. This angel tells Mary, you're going to have a son, and his name is going to be Jesus, which means Savior. And she understands that he's telling her, this is the Savior of the world. This is the one they've always waited for. I mean, can you imagine a 15-year-old girl understanding this? She probably wasn't much older than 14, 15, or 16 years old. That's the culture. The culture, people got married. Women got married between 14 and 17 and 18, and men got married at 18, usually anywhere from 16 to 18 years old. It seems to indicate that as we look at the scripture that Joseph may have been a little older. But here's this girl understanding that she's going to have a baby and the Holy Spirit's going to come on her and the baby is going to be Jesus, the Savior. And she disappears. And Joseph is engaged to her and she's gone for about 3 months. Because she goes down to be with Elizabeth, who is 6 months pregnant when she gets down there, and she stays for 3 months, and the baby comes, which is John the Baptist, and she comes back. When she comes back, she's 3 months pregnant. And Joseph finds out about it, because she comes and tells him. And he says, where have you been? She said, well, I was down there with Elizabeth. And he says, Elizabeth, are you sure? I mean, you know. And she said, well, I just want you to understand that this baby that I'm going to have is not from any man or anything. It's from the Holy Spirit's come upon me. And this is going to be the Son of God. And his name is Jesus, which is Savior. This is the one we've all been waiting for. I am the mother of God. He went, right, you? Yeah, yes, you are. Yeah, you're the mother of something. I don't know what is going on. And so he loved her so much that law-wise, he could have had her stoned and put to death publicly. He could have divorced her publicly and not had her stoned, or he could put her away privately. And he decided, I love her. I do not want to embarrass her. I don't know what she's done, but I'm going to put her away. And he went to sleep, and the same angel who had come to Mary came to him in Matthew 1 and said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. He is the Son of God. You shall name him, what? Jesus, because he shall save his people from their sins. So the first name I want you to see, that two names going together, is Savior. Jesus and Savior. So at the birth of Jesus Christ, we can see that he's going to be called Jesus. He's going to be called Savior. Jesus is a personal name. It would be like calling him Joshua. When the nation of Israel came out of Egypt, who led them out? Moses led them out. Moses led them out. They wandered for 40 years. They got up to the edge of the Jordan River, and Moses was going to die. And who's going to lead them in and, in a sense, save them by taking them into the promised land? Joshua. That's name, the Savior. That's who Joshua is. That's what that name means. And so when we see that, it's amazing. You shall call his name Jesus, because he shall save his people from their sins. I want you to see one other thing. You're in Luke chapter 1. Turn to Luke chapter 2. And once again, all of these are very famous passages. When you start talking about the birth of the Messiah, you have a bunch of famous passages. And so far, we've seen that his name is Jesus and Savior. I just want you to show you how that fits together. Look at Luke chapter 2, and if you go to verse 8, the baby, Jesus has been born. In fact, they leave Galilee and go to Judea, and they go to Bethlehem, and the baby's born. She gives birth to her firstborn son, wraps him in cloth, and lays him in a manger. And that same region, verse 8, there we shepherds, and an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them. Angels, by the way, the name angel is the Greek word angelos. Do you know what it means? It means messenger. And see, every time we're seeing this, you've got angels coming and doing what? Giving a what? A message. And so here's the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord was around them, and they were frightened, and the angel said, don't be afraid. And look at verse 11. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a what? A Savior, who is Christ the Lord. So I just want you to see that when we're talking about the names of God and we're talking about the names of Jesus at his birth, we've seen he's the Word. But now we've also seen that he's Jesus and he's Savior, because the name Jesus means Savior. So sometimes he's called Savior and sometimes he's called Jesus. And just remember that Jesus is the personal name. In fact, we're going to see in a couple of weeks, maybe next week, maybe, that as he went around, they called him Jesus of Nazareth, because they didn't have last names. They didn't have last names. Where did the name Johnson come from? Joe Johnson. Joe is John's son. And as years went by, instead of saying Joe Johnson, they just said, that's Joe Johnson. That's where the name Johnsons came from, the English aspect of it. There are all kind of names like that flow together. And that's where, and they didn't have them in that time. And so they asked Joseph of Arimathea. Why Joseph of Arimathea? Because how many other Josephs were there? You have to name where the guy's from. You have to name something about him. There's James, the brother of John, and James the, anybody know? The less. Why do they call him the less? He wasn't as tall as the other James. Which it offends me greatly. But anyway, no. So I'm James the Less. But anyway, just in case. But the idea is, think about it. How did they, you know, here's James and here's James. And how many Marys were there? Mary Magdalene? Mary the connected with Joseph, but not, that's a different Mary than the Mary that was married to Joseph. There's like six Marys. If you look in the beginning of the New Testament aspect of the birth of Christ, there are Marys everywhere. Amazing. The people that we deal with in India that we Skype with, and y'all know we've sent money. There's 20, I think there's now, they told me there are 29 tribal pastors, but they're actually 27 tribal pastors, and we talk to them all the time. I have no idea what their real names are, but when they write me, the pastor that writes me calls himself Jacob, and his sister calls herself Mary. And one of the tribal pastors who I really cared about, and he was the translator. I never knew his name, but he just passed away. And they've asked us as a church, would we help with the burial? And we are going to help with the burial. They don't have any money to bury him. His family has nothing. But you know what they call him? Guess what name they gave him? Johnson. They said, Johnson expired, is what they wrote me. Johnson expired. And they knew if they gave us his other name, we'd never be able to pronounce it or know what it was. So names. Jesus was Jesus of Nazareth. And here he's called Jesus, and he's the Savior. It's amazing. Okay, let me give you another name, okay? Another name at the birth is this one. I think we've got, he's called the Son of God. Realize this. Now, I want you to understand what that really meant, okay? I want you to, you're still in Luke. Go back to Luke chapter 1. Go back to the same place, verse 31, 32, where the angel came to Mary, okay? Look what he says. Angel said to her, don't be afraid, Mary. That's verse 30. You found favor of God. Behold, you shall conceive in your womb, and you shall bear a son, and you shall name him what? What does that mean? Savior. He will be great. To me, that's the greatest understatement of all time, right? He's going to be great? No. He's not going to be great. He's going to be the greatest of all time. He's God. He's the Savior of the world. He will be great, and he will be called what? The Son of the Most High. That's the Son of God. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He's going to be the king. He's going to be called the Son of God. Let me tell you something. When Jesus called himself the Son of God, in that culture, the Hebrew idea, that you, this is in Greek, but when they talked to each other in Hebrew, they said Ben something, like Judah Ben-Hur. The book Ben-Hur, Ben-Hur means son of her. Ben means son of. And Jesus sometimes called himself the Son Ben the Father, the Son of the Father. Now, in that culture, if you said, I am the son of this man, that meant you were saying you were the same as, that you were equal to. So when Jesus would say that he was the Son of God, he's claiming to be equal with God. That's why they get so upset when he said, I'm the Son of God. Because we could all say, how many of us in this room are sons of God? Every one of us. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become what? Sons of God, even those who believe in him. Every one of us in this room are sons of God. But when Jesus said, Son of God, or when somebody said, he shall be called the Son of the Most High, that meant he's equal to. So look at verse 35. Basically, look at verse 34. Mary said to the angel, how could this be since I'm a virgin? And look, the angel said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child will be called what? The Son of God. So to be called the Son of God is, I mean, that is the title of God, because you're saying you're equal with God. And it's really amazing. And so when Jesus, the people would say, there's Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, people said, you can't say that. That's why the religious leaders got so mad at him. Powerful. Okay, we got another one. And this is one of my favorite ones. Emmanuel. Emmanuel, which literally means what? God with us. I want you to go back to Matthew chapter 1. If you, and we just quickly look at this, look at verse 18 of Matthew 1. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. Here's Matthew writing. He says, I'd like to tell you how Jesus was born. He just puts it down. When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child by the Holy Spirit. That's what she told him. And Joseph, well, he was a righteous man, and he didn't want to disgrace her. He didn't want to kill her. He didn't want to publicly disgrace her, so he was going to put her away secretly. But when he considered this, an angel of the Lord came to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her as of the Holy Spirit. She'll bear a son, and his name's Jesus. He shall save his people. Now, that's Jesus and Savior. Then notice this. This all took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. This is Isaiah. Look what it said. Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and she shall bear a son, and they shall call his name, what? Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. And so the most amazing thing is that at a point in time in history, and this goes back again to the same thing, that Jesus Christ, who is eternal God, left the glories of heaven to become a human being, and he is God with us. So when Jesus was walking on the earth, he's God, which is amazing, which is God with us. I think it's the most unique thing. Now, I want to show you something so that you can grasp this. I want you to turn to the book of Philippians. Did we show the other slide? Is there another slide right there? What's right? Hold on. Go to Philippians chapter 2. I want you to see this lived out. For people to grasp that the eternal God would become a person, does that sound right to you? Does that sound normal to you? You say, how can the eternal Son of God become a human being? I want you to look at Philippians chapter 2. And here is what they call, let me just say this, they call this the kenosis passage, which means the emptying passage. Because Jesus Christ emptied himself from all eternity. And let me just say this to you. There's some really good people who are confused. There are some people teach that Jesus Christ did not become the Son of God until he was born into this world. That's not accurate. Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God. He's always existed, always been the Son. There's always been the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ has always been the Son of God. It is God the Father who came up with the plan. It is God the Son who carried out the plan. It is God the Holy Spirit who reveals the plan. It is God the Father who came up with the plan to save mankind by sending his Son to die in our place and pay for sin and rise again and be the satisfactory payment. It is the Son who left the glories of heaven to become a human being so he could die on the cross to pay for sin and rise again and conquer death. And it is the Holy Spirit's responsibility to enlighten us, to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment, sin, because we have not believed, so that we people could comprehend and understand that Jesus Christ died and rose again. So God has a plan. I want you to see Philippians chapter 2, and I want you to just see it. We'll go real quickly through it because it's a famous passage, but I just want you to see that Jesus Christ became a person. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says, have this attitude in yourselves which was in Christ Jesus. In other words, think like Jesus. How did he think? Although he existed in the form of God, and by the way, when you see that, don't think, oh, he looked like God. No, the form of the word morphem has the idea that he existed in an outward reality as an inward truth of who he is. He's God. He did not regard equality with God something to be grasped or held onto. What did he do? He emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of what? Man, he became a human being. He emptied himself. Let me ask you something. When Jesus Christ, this is going to be a little bit hard to grasp. When Jesus Christ left the glories of heaven and became a human being, and he walked on the earth, did he look like God? Okay, so when people saw him, did people say, oh, here comes God? They saw a man. Did Jesus Christ limit his deity when he was on the earth? That's a hard question. I want you to think about it before you answer. Did Jesus Christ limit his deity when he was on the earth? When I say limit, that means did he cease in some aspects not to be God? No, okay. So did Jesus Christ know what people were thinking? Yeah. Did Jesus Christ forgive sins? Did Jesus Christ raise the dead? Did he control the natural realm and do miracles? Yeah, so he never ceased in any way, shape, or form being God. But he veiled his deity. So that, to me, is the difference. He didn't stop being God. Because I have people say that Jesus Christ gave up some of his powers when he came to the earth. I don't think he gave up anything. He just veiled it. Now, let me just say one other thing. I think that he unveiled it a few times. Can you think of any time Jesus unveiled this deity? Exactly. The night they came to arrest him, and this is the most amazing thing, and most people just overlook it. Jesus standing there, and all these people came up, and shields, and everything, and he steps out and says, who are you looking for? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth, and he says, I am, which is the name of God. And what happened when he said that? They all took steps back and put their faces to the ground. Can you think of another time that he unveiled his deity? Huh? Transfiguration? Yeah. He got on the mountain. He told Peter, James, and John that he said one day the Messiah is going to come as the king, and they all were going, we don't know what he's talking about. And he said, some of you will not die until you see the Son of Man. That's another title we'll get to. He says, the Son of Man in his glory. And they all went, good gracious. And 8 days later, in one of the translations, he takes Peter, James, and John, and he takes them up on the top of a mountain. And while he's there, he has changed, and he's glowing brightly. I think he's showing them what he looks like as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Moses and Elijah show up, and they see it, and they can't even look at him. And a big shadow comes over, and he said, this is my beloved Son, and whom I... So the Father says, listen to what he's got to say. This is the King. So they saw, he unveiled his glory. But most of the time on the earth, what did it do? Being made in the likeness of men and being found in the appearance as a man. Why doesn't it say, and being found as a man, when it says being found in the appearance as a man? Is Jesus Christ a man? Completely, 100% man. Exactly. Is that all that he is? No, he's 100% what? God. So he couldn't just say he was a man. He says he's found in the appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. What does it say? Even the death on the cross. Coming a human being. This is God what? With us. I think it's the most amazing thing. John 8. I want you to flip over there real quickly. I brought this up, and I can't remember where I brought it up, in here in Sunday school or whether I did it in one of the SBI classes, but sometimes people will talk to you, and have you ever noticed that people who don't really know the Bible, they think they know the Bible, and they just say things like, well, you know, the Bible says this, and when you know it doesn't say it at all, and so sometimes you have to correct them, but you have to correct them nicely. But I've had many people say to me, you know what, Jesus Christ never claimed to be God. I've had them say that. I say, really? Really, what book are you reading? Right? Did Jesus Christ claim to be God? Every I am statement that he makes is a claim to be God. Every time he did a miracle, every time he forgave sins, every time he raised the dead, that's Jesus Christ claiming to be God. I want you to look at John 8, okay? John 8. They come after Jesus, and they're mad at him, and they think they say, you've got a demon, and he said, I don't have a demon. And the Jews said, well, this and this and this and this, and they're talking about Abraham, and they're saying, you're not greater than our father Abraham. You think you're great? You can't be greater than Abraham. Who is Abraham? Why was Abraham so big for the Jewish people? Huh? He's the father of the Jews. Exactly. Abraham to who? Isaac, and Isaac to Jacob. You can't just say Abraham's descendants. You have to say Abraham's descendants through Isaac and Jacob. That's the Jews. And so they said, you're not greater than Abraham. And look at verse 54. Jesus said, skip on up let's look at it. 54. He said, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It's the Father who glorifies me, whom you say he's our God. You've not come to know him. You don't know him, but I know him. And if I said I don't know him, I'd be a liar like you. You know, Jesus never, listen, Jesus said, you don't know the Father. I know the Father. If I were to say I didn't know the Father, I'd be a liar like you're a liar. Because you're saying you know the Father and you don't. Jesus never beat around the bush. Listen, he called them snakes. He called them tombs, whitewashed tombs. He said, you look good on the outside and you're putrid on the inside. That's what he called them. They didn't like him, by the way. Most of the time. And so he says to them in verse 56, your father Abraham, the one you're all jumping around about, rejoiced to see my day. And he was glad. He saw it and he was glad. Abraham, what is he saying? Abraham saw who? Who did Abraham see? Jesus. When did Abraham see Jesus? You remember the time that Abraham was sitting out in front of the tent? And somebody came up to him and said, I'll be back in a year and she'll have a baby. Who was that? Who was that? That's Jesus, pre-incarnate Jesus. Look, let me just say something to you. Before Jesus took on human flesh and was born in this world, there are times he makes appearances. They're called Christophanies, which means Christ appearing. and there were times he appeared. Who walked in the cool of the garden with Adam and Eve? Jesus? That's as good as a guess as anybody, right? So Jesus was standing there, and he says, I will return next year. She'll have a baby. Was Abraham happy at that? He says, Abraham was really glad to see me. He is glad to see me. And look what they said. Wait a minute. Whoa, 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 whoa. So the Jews said to him, you're not yet 50 years old, and you said you have seen Abraham? That's impossible. How many years ago had Abraham lived from that time? Anybody know? Oh, 2,000 years. Abraham lived 2,000 years before Jesus, right? Because after Abraham was Moses. Moses 1,500 years before Christ. After Moses was David. David lived about 1,000 years before Christ. After that was Daniel. Daniel lived about 500 years before Christ. So they said to him, you're not even 50, and you think you've seen Abraham? Abraham lived 2,000 years ago. Right? Who lived 2,000 years ago from us that's famous? Jesus. Yeah, about that, right? That'd be like somebody, me saying, Jesus was really glad to see us. And they'd say, you're not even 50 years old. And you're not very old. You're not old at all. In fact, you're really young, and you think you've seen Jesus? He lived 2,000 years ago. You've seen Abraham? And Jesus said, truly, truly, listen carefully is what truly means. It's amen. Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, what does he say? He didn't say I was. He said I am, which is the idea of I've always existed. He is God, what? With us. God with us. Oh, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. And they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Look at John 14. This is one of my favorite places. And too often we just read a verse. So we have to see the flow. John 14:1. Jesus is about to go to the cross. They've just eaten a meal. They've left the upper room. They're on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane. And he says, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. You got to believe me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. What's this place called? My Father's house. What's it called? What? The New Jerusalem, the holy city. That's exactly it. He says, in my Father's house, there's many rooms. It wasn't that way I told you. I go to prepare a place for you. When I get it ready, I'll come back and get you. And you know the way I'm going. And Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How are we going to know the way? And Jesus said, I'm the way and the truth and the life. And nobody comes to the Father except through me. That's pretty powerful because he uses I am there. I am the way, truth, and life. And no other way to go to the Father except through me. He's the Savior. And then he says something. If you had have known me, you would also have known my Father. And from now on, you know him and you've seen him. Wait a minute, whoa, whoa, whoa. How have they seen the Father? How could they have? Listen, for a Jew to see the Father, to see God the Father? I mean, they didn't. What did they call him? They didn't call him Daddy. They didn't call him anything. They didn't even use his name. And then Jesus already told him, he said, then when you pray this way, our Father. And they went, Father, we can call him Father? We're going to call him Father. No, he said, oh, you can call him better than that. You can call him Daddy. He said, you have known him and you have, past tense, seen him. Notice, they're thinking the same thing we're thinking. When did they see the Father? Notice what he says. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father. That's enough for us. If you can just show us the Father, I don't think we've ever seen the Father. And Jesus said, have I been with you so long and yet you've not come to know me, Philip? Because if you've seen me, you have seen what? The Father. How can you say, show us the Father? The Father and I are what? One. See, Jesus is God with us. That's who he is. God with us. The I am. Before Abraham was, I am. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So applications, we've got to stop there. Continue to study the names and titles of God. I know you may think, well, you know, but every time you see the place name, or every time it'll say believe in his name, you need to think about, what do you mean? What name are we talking about? Every time you see L-O-R-D, all capitals in the Old Testament, what's the name? And you see a capital L, little O-R-D in the Old Testament, what's the name? When you see the word God, when you see the word, how these things fit together, when you see him as the Son of God, when you see him as God with us, Emmanuel, when you see him as the Word of God, when you see him as the Christ, the Messiah, when you see him as Jesus, when you start seeing all of these names, you need to say, what do these names mean? Because what we're doing is getting a picture of who God is through his names. Great stuff. Second, understand his names at the birth of Jesus. Here's what they are. First of all, the Word, which we saw, and then Jesus and Savior, which is the same, and then the Son of God and Emmanuel, God with us.